SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast, in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad editors, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves to pick up her 25% pie hoe. She says it's a really good mix when she's drinking shots of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shaking up. She do all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan. She do be shaking. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Pharrell with Carver High Mafia LTM running it from Kansas City. There'll be a football game there this weekend. I heard the Chiefs are playing or something like that. Time for the birthday roll call. Connor McDavid, they start their season tonight in Edmonton for Alberta against Vancouver, and it's his 24th birthday. Look out, he'll probably have four goals. Doug Martin, the former Bucks running back, 32. Josh Freeman, former quarterback, 33. Jack Johnson, NHL defenseman, 34. Nick Mangold, our buddy, 37, former Jet center. Ronnie Turioff, remember him, 38. Mike Rupp, former NHLer, Penguin, and such, 41. Nikolai Hobby-Bulin, 48. Kevin Mitchell, badass, 59. Kelly Rudy, 60. Marco Mira, 64. Bob Baffert, 68. Check those horses. Got to check those horses. Great trainer. Check the horses. All right, there you go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Aaron Rodgers knows Aaron Donald is already a Hall of Famer. We'll hear from Rodgers. Sean McVay on the show today talking about facing his good buddy Matt LaFleur. Bruce Arians doesn't care that the Saints beat their ass twice already this year. Let's go again this weekend. Lamar Jackson wary of the potential first snow game of his career in Shovel Off to Buffalo. We'll hear from Lamar. Andy Reid talks about Baker Mayfield on today's C2C. And Denzel Ward, Kevin Johnson activated from the COVID list for the Browns. Saturday's games, we'll break it down. Sunday's games, we'll break that down as well. Carver High?
We will. That's right. And we have some Dolphins players are starting to doubt whether Tua is going to be the guy after his rookie season. Robert Saleh meets with the Jets and they let him out of the building. His second interview with the team, he will now most likely interview with others. We'll see where the Jets are going to go from here. Broncos to hire Vikings personnel man George Patton as GM. The Lions have interest in Steelers GM Kevin Colbert. We'll see if he leaves the Steel City. Been some rumblings there of some trouble. Seahawks part ways with offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer. The Bears will retain GM Ryan Pace and coach Matt Nagy. Defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano, he is going to retire. Scotty Pagano walking out the door in Chicago on Nagy.
Exciting. No one cares. The Eagles interview every guy in the league for their job, including Joe Brady, Ryan Day, and Luke Fickle, possible candidates as well in Philly. I'm not sure I'm buying any of that. I don't think Day wants to leave Columbus. I don't care what he did previously. He's got that huge job with the Buckeyes. Jags still waiting on Urban Meyer. Doesn't seem full steam ahead when he's talking to the Chargers as well. But there's talk of Meyer with Trent Baalke as the GM in Jacksonville. We'll see if it happens. Plus, Deuce Staley expected to be the head coach. Interview on the list for the Eagles as well. Literally, they're interviewing everyone, including Mafia Carver High. Ty from LTN has an interview there tomorrow. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and of course on satellite SiriusXM channel 204. You got Sports Grid Radio Network styling there as well. Good to have all of you with us today. NHL season starts tonight. They drop the puck. Divisions, we'll break them all down for you today. Odds to win the cup. And of course, the Red Wings named 24-year-old Dylan Larkin captain in the Motor City. They start tomorrow night, the Red Wings. NHL announces 17 stars tested positive for the COVID, the most of any team. They got the biggest problem. A lot of them are asymptomatic, though, which is a good sign. And Zibanejad has his first practice for the Rangers since he had a positive COVID test. The Blackhawks get their coach Colleton a 2-year extension. The Penguins are building a huge facility for the Hill in Pittsburgh. The legendary Hill District went down to like rock bottom after the Civic Arena was built, the Igloo. They're building a major skyscraper for First National Bank, condos, a Live Nation concert venue, the whole deal, restaurants. They're blowing it out. The Penguins involved heavily with redevelopment in Pittsburgh. Tonight's games will break them all down for you. Plus, Sean Pendergast, our friend from Mornings on 610 in Houston, with all the chaos going on there with James Harden and Deshaun Watson. We thought we'd hook up with Sean today and break it all down for you. Padres interested in Tanaka. David Price is throwing, getting ready for the season. And Chris Sale could be throwing on a mound soon for the Boston Red Sox. We'll break down everything. UFC 258, 259, the March cards, you name it, Blaze Lewis, everything with Mafia on our UFC segment today. Plus, we'll get into the Harden situation. We'll hear from Harden. We'll look at how fat he is, literally. And we're going to talk about all of the teams. The Nets are offering the most, more than Philly. We'll get into all that. Boogie turning on Harden. Wall says he's a B. Kevin Durant with a huge night last night, 34-9-13. He was unbelievable. We'll talk about Kyrie. You get it all. Plus Greg Logan of Newsday on tonight's Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Reports flying around this very minute all over the media that James Harden has just been traded to the Brooklyn Nets. And like I said earlier when we were starting the show, they had a bigger package to offer than the Sixers. Sixers offered Simmons and some pieces. The Nets literally offered their entire franchise for James Harden. Every single first round pick. I mean, it is unbelievable. Going down, it has to be for the next decade that they're screwed because of this guy. I sure hope he stops eating everything he sees. He looks like a Mack truck right now on the floor with his big fat gut and fat ass. We'll talk more about him later with our friend from Newsday. Plus, Carver High, I did want to mention, I'd be remiss, massive college basketball action on this show today. We'll talk about Michigan winning big last night over Wisconsin. All the other games, we'll hear from Juwan Howard, and we'll break down tonight's games on the college hardwood. But let's start with, A, Harden to the Nets, obviously, but we'll jump to the NFL, and Aaron Rodgers kicks it off.
Yeah, let's do the NFL, Scotty, first today. Packers and Rams, first game on Saturday. Aaron Donald is going to be chasing Aaron Rodgers all over the field. Rodgers knows that Donald is already a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
I said it back in 2018, it's very rare that you have an impact player that rushes from the inside. There's just not as much space. J.J. Watt has done it for a long time and also done it on the edge. But most of the real, real impact players when it comes to pass rush are edge rushers. A little different with 99. He's a special, special player. Obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer, impact player every single year. Guy that you have to game plan for. You have to be aware of where he's at all times. And just one of those special talents that we haven't seen a whole lot of in this game, in the history of the game.
Well, obviously, he's a freak of nature. I remember watching him in college, and everybody was saying, this guy's going to be a monster in the NFL. He's been everything that you could ever dream of. People are saying he's the best ever, that's ever played, better than Reggie White, better than all of them. He is incredible. We'll see how he does with rib problems in Lambeau. I have said on this show when we were talking about Justin Fields, that ended up being more of a hip pointer than a rib problem. But if you have broken ribs, you have rib cartilage, you have problems. I don't care who you are, how much of a badass you are, that injury will humble everyone. Not just anyone, but everyone. You can't get out of a car, can't get out of a chair, can't get out of a bed. If you cough with broken ribs or rib cartilage tears, you will cry to your mommy like never before. It is the most painful injury ever. Let's see how he looks. Just because he's playing doesn't mean he's healthy. If you got rib problems, you got problems beyond just pain. It'll affect everything you do.
Let me give you the I've got the Harden details for you, Scotty, what the return is, the entire package. Please. You ready for that? It's a three-team deal. The Cleveland Cavaliers are involved as well. So Brooklyn will get James Harden, Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, a couple of other hacks, four first-round picks, including the Cavaliers' 2022 first-rounder via the Bucks, and four net pick swaps go to the Rockets. Jared Allen and Torian Prince go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So you said it, Scotty. Basically, every draft pick that the Nets have for a while, pick swaps as well. Caris LeVert, Jared Allen. The Nets lost a lot of players and picks, but they do have James Harden now.
So let me get this straight. So you're telling me Froman ends up in Cleveland, which is like a federal prison sentence, and then LeVert ends up going to Houston with his broken-ass Jay right now? And then all the draft picks. Who are the players going to Houston? I don't care about Cleveland. They're horrible.
Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, Radonius Kurax, the kid on Cleveland also, and four first-rounders. Right. That's what Cleveland gets and the pick swaps. I mean, that's what Houston gets, I should say, and the pick swaps.
Well, to me, it's all about picks. And the sad part for me is how well – Allen played on this Brooklyn team in the paint. I thought he was phenomenal. And bottom line is, now they've got Durant and Harden, and they have absolutely no one to block shots or rebound. No one. Zero. They have not one player on the team that'll do that. And Dante Exum sucks. I mean, I didn't even know he was still in the league. I mean, honest to God. That's how bad he should be playing in my league.
LeVert, a bunch of picks and a few hacks. That's basically what Houston got for James Harden. So there you go, Scotty. We'll talk more about the trade later on. Sean McVay says Aaron Donald's going to be good to go on Saturday. You know that he's not missing that game. McVay is good buddies with Matt LaFleur. They are looking forward, Scotty, to facing each other. Here's McVay on that.
Matt's one of my closest friends in life. And I think, you know, us getting a chance to work here together my first year where, you know, really I think sometimes you end up being hard or, you know, having that comfort level with one another, with the people that you're closest with. And so I think as we were both getting comfortable in the roles and trying to do a great job as we got here, I always appreciated his ability to say, you know, I don't care what you are. He always has the right approach as far as being honest. You know, it wasn't one of those tell you what you want to hear. He told me what I needed to hear. And it was good, even though sometimes we wanted to choke each other out, but, I love him. I mean, he's like my brother. And so like my big brother. And so, you know, we've been close.
Well, I mean, make sure he buys you dinner after he kicks your ass on Saturday. I mean, at least have him take you out to Ruth's or something and pay for dinner, because you're not winning that game. I don't care if Donald has ribs. You know what's going to happen in that game, right? LaFleur, Rodgers, Adams, game over. Done.
The other NFC game is the late one on Sunday, the Saints and the Bucs. We know what happened in the first two meetings. All Saints as they beat the Buccaneers twice. Here, Scotty, is Bucs head coach Bruce Arians. He doesn't care that the Saints beat their ass twice. Here's Bruce.
Sure he does.
I think it depends when you play them. You know, if it's September and October, a lot of things change in a season. Players are in, are out. Injuries of all those type of things. Familiarity with the players, you know, Marshawn Lattimore knows Mike Evans, and who's gonna win that battle? Same thing, Tristan Wirfs and Cam Jordan. I mean, it comes down to one-on-one battles of guys that know each other. Who's gonna make those game-changing plays in this game?
Listen, can I just say this? Did they not almost literally, I know it's not checkers, but didn't Washington have them by the throat? Like, I mean, they were in that game literally to the end. I thought the Bucks looked at them like they had it in the bag, no problem. They weren't going to lose. And it wasn't a confident look. It was, we got this. That's fine. We got Brady. We're going to get this done. It doesn't matter how good Heinicke is. I thought Heinicke played great, kept him in the game. I was not impressed at all in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last weekend. And in the games that they got their ass pelted by the Saints, you can talk about September and October all you want there, Coach A, but you got bent over in both of those games. You cannot stop Drew Brees and the Saints. And the Saints defense is better than your washed up defense anyway. Saints roll.
We have this trade just, it gets bigger, Scotty. The dominoes falling in the NBA here.
What?
The Rockets are now going to take Caris LeVert and trade him to Indiana for Victor Oladipo. So a package of LeVert going to Indiana, Victor Oladipo is going to go to the Rockets, Scotty. So all these dominoes are falling here in a matter of minutes. So the Rockets have already turned around and moved LeVert another way.
Okay, look, I think Oladipo's fallen off, obviously, since he got injured. There's no doubt about it. Something's wrong with LeVert. I think he's a great player, but something's wrong with him this year. He's not hitting the broadside of a barn. He's not shooting the ball well, although he had an unbelievable Euro step dunk last night. So he has a massive upside. I think that's why you're seeing him move around a little bit more, and teams do want LeVert.
Yeah, this just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So a massive 15 minutes in the NBA here, which sees Harden, LeVert, Oladipo, Allen, a lot of guys being moved in a 15-minute span, Scotty. Should be continue to be wild in the NBA.
And we still don't know where Evaporation Boy went. I mean, your boy Kyrie is nowhere to be seen. He's gone off the deep end.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Massive trades in the NBA today. Harden to the Nets is the bottom line, and a lot of player movement. LeVert to Indy, Oladipo to the Rockets. I think I got that right. And there's all kinds of other action. Froman ended up going to Cleveland. What could be worse for him? Let's stick to the NFL, though. I want to get in Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Andy Reid.
Yeah, let's start with Josh Allen, Scotty. Of course, Bills and the Ravens, Saturday night in the B-Lo. Here is Allen. Last year, he made a couple mistakes against the Ravens. He knows he cannot do that again.
I've already watched it. It's a tough watch. You know, I didn't play particularly well last year in that game. Just a couple boneheaded mistakes. And they got after us. And this is a team that they get momentum on their side. They're scary. Obviously, they got quite a few big-name players over there, and they play their schemes extremely well. And then, again, on offense, what they're able to do with how explosive they are. It's one of those games where you got to capitalize on your opportunities to score, one. And two, you got to hold on to the football and not make any mistakes and give them any easy ones because, you saw it in last week's game. Lamar can go at any time. And so we got to force them to stay back and play the long field possession game and be smart on offense. And like I said, score when we get the chances.
Look, bottom line is, I had this conversation with Carver High off the air earlier today. I think Josh Allen's flat out better than Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar's unbelievable when he runs the ball. I'm not a fan of him throwing the ball. And I think Josh Allen runs the ball as well as anyone, including Jackson. He's a powerhouse when he runs the ball. He's smart when he runs the ball. And smarter than the last couple of years. I think he's got even better this year. And he throws the ball five times better than Jackson. I'm going Allen, cream rises to the top. Let's hear from Lamar, though, Carver High.
Yes, Lamar Jackson is a little wary, Scotty, of a potential first snow game. He has not had any of those in the NFL, and that could be the case Saturday night in Buffalo. There is a 50% chance of some snow for that game. There's been a lot of doubters for Lamar. He says, Scotty, he just blocks him out.
People gonna always talk, you know, no matter, you know, what you're doing in life, you know, you just got to keep that strong head, you know, keep your head on your shoulders and stay focused on what you're going to do, you know, keep that mentality like you're a dog and don't really worry about the naysayers, you know, because it's going to always be them. No matter what you achieve in life, it's going to always be there. You just got to keep going, and that's how I'm going to play my game, and that's how I'm going to live my life.
Look, there's no doubt he's dangerous, and I think another edge here for me is that the Bills are playing in their stadium, and they're going to have their sprinkled drunk fans there, and the weather, and flat out, they've just been a better team this year, in my opinion. The cream rises. To me, at this point, it's still Kansas City and Buffalo's world. They're the two best teams. I believe the best teams are going to rise to the top in these divisional games, and you're going to have title games with the four best teams in the NFL.
Sunday's game in the AFC, Chiefs and Browns, of course. Here is Andy Reid, Scotty. He thinks that Baker Mayfield has become dangerous now that he is familiar with Kevin Stefanski's offense. Here's Reid.
He's matured on the field. I think he's really fallen in love with this scheme, it looks like, and mastered it. So he's doing very well. That's not an easy thing to do when you've been given a couple different things as a young quarterback, a couple different schemes to try to be the best at. That's not easy to do for these quarterbacks. A lot of guys get lost in that, and looks like he's really powered through it and done a nice job.
I mean, he and that team kicked the Steelers' ass. There's no doubt about it. Let's see what he does at Arrowhead. And more importantly, let's see what Cleveland's defense does against that offense, which won the Super Bowl and that, frankly, humiliates teams on a weekly basis. Good luck in Kansas City against them, because I don't think we're going to be hearing the same things about how great he is after that game on Sunday. That's all there is to it. The only other thing I wanted to mention about the NFL, I am surprised that today, after Salah has met with the Jets twice, and now the owner spent the whole day with the owner on a third day, that they haven't announced yet that they got a deal with this guy. That's amazing to me. I mean, what are they doing? Can they do anything right, ever? I mean, you got the guy in the building. Don't let him leave.
No, they cannot do that, Scotty. Of course not. They can never do anything right. Hockey tonight, first night, NHL is back. In fact, Scotty, it happens in about an hour. Your Penguins and the Flyers are going to kick off this NHL season. Now, before we get to tonight's game, very quickly, let's take a look at the odds to win the Cup one more time. We'll look at the odds on FanDuel. Here's your new divisions, by the way. This is just for this year. We know Northwest, Central, and East. All the Canadian teams are going to be in that North division. The West is very strong with Colorado, St. Louis, and Vegas. The East, very strong as well. The champion Lightning in the Central. Scotty, who is the favorite on opening night to win the Cup? Believe it or not, it is the Colorado Avalanche. I was a little surprised to see this as well. They've been the favorite, Scotty, honestly, for weeks. Here they are, plus 650 on FanDuel. Tampa Bay and Vegas right behind them at plus 850. Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, Carolina, and the Penguins. Your odds to win the Cup on opening night, Scotty. What do you think?
Well, I'll say this. I told you yesterday I think McKinnon is the best player in the league. I know everyone's on McDavid. He's just so incredible. If he's so incredible, how did his teammate win the Hart? I mean, honestly, I think McDavid's great. But McKinnon and the speed of that Avalanche team on the ice is unbelievable. It's like when I watched Tampa. They were like the Russian Red Army, the way they cycled and skated at both ends of the ice. You and I watched them midseason in Vegas. We knew they were going to play for the Stanley Cup, and they won the Stanley Cup. I have no problem when I see that Avalanche talent and speed on paper with all the BS of futures, everybody predicting who's going to win the championship before they drop the puck. But I am willing to say speed-wise, they're the only team that can dance, in my opinion, with the Lightning.
I did put a wager on the Vegas Golden Knights, Scotty. I had to do it. I think that they're going to be really good. I don't think you'll get a price that good later in the year. So plus 850 for Vegas. And, of course, I threw a couple on the Islanders as well.
I think they've taken steps
28
back.
To 1.
You're always on the Islanders. You're not fooling anyone. You're so far in their garage like I am the Penguins. But I know the Penguins aren't winning anything. Here's the deal with the Vegas Golden Knights. No one wants to admit it, but they've actually taken two steps back after taking two steps forward. When they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, it was a miracle run. Since then, they're not that good. Everybody just keeps telling you how great they are, except they lose in the playoffs. I don't want to hear it. They're not one of the best teams right now. That's all there is to it.
Tonight, first game, Penguins and Flyers in Philadelphia. You see it right now. It's actually an even game. Flyers were favorite yesterday, and then today on FanDuel, minus -110 both ways, Scotty. Are you excited to drop the puck while we're still on coast-to-coast here?
Listen, I obviously I'm stoked, and I want the Penguins to win every game they play, but I don't even think they can win this game. I hope they do, but I think Philadelphia has certainly played a lot better than the Penguins last year, and I thought the Penguins' performance against the Canadiens in the bubble in the playoffs was inept. The only thing I like about them is, frankly, Sid Crosby. Point a game automatic. I'm worried about their goaltending. I'm wondering which Gino Malkin's going to show up. Lazy Gino or I want to play Gino. You never know which guy's going to show up. And I got to get productivity from a bunch of guys that I think are kind of a little bit bummy and hacky. I don't think they're anything to be afraid of. The Flyers have a much better core. They played way better hockey last year than the Penguins.
We have four other games tonight as well, including Toronto and Montreal up in Toronto tonight. Minus -140 money line favorite for the Leafs. The Tampa Bay Lightning start their defense of the cup at home against Chicago, who absolutely stinks. Minus -250. You can get them at I like the Lightning tonight, minus -1.5 also. Canucks and the Oilers in Alberta, minus -135 for them. Blues and Avalanche, the late night 10:45 p.m. Eastern game. Avalanche, of course, minus -150 favorite. 6.5 totals in all of these games tonight, Scotty. Over. Let's see some goals.
Well, I know you and Cam are on overs all night, but let me say this. As far as Toronto, it's so funny to me how every single year, all we ever hear about is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's a newsflash for you. They suck. I'm not surprised at all if Montreal goes in there and beats them tonight. That's a decent Montreal team that gets no respect at all as they were kicking the Penguins' ass and playing fantastic in the playoffs while the Leafs bent over again. Overrated. Lightning, are you kidding? They'll kick the Hawks' ass. And McDavid's not losing on his birthday. And I'll tell you what, you'll see those abs. The Blues, to me, have really, like, lost their marbles. Remember when they won the Stanley Cup? What happened to that team? They're nowhere to be found. They're like Kyrie Irving. Give me the Avalanche, give me the Oilers, give me the Lightning, and I'll take the upset with the Canadiens and give me the Flyers.
Yeah, they need a bounce back from Binnington this year, Scotty. I thought he was awful. After winning the Cup, Binnington was not the same in nets.
No one bounces back.
Very tough task for them tonight. Red Wings named 24-year-old Dylan Larkin. Their captain, Mark Stone, was named captain of the first captain ever of the Vegas Golden Knights. They did not have one the last few years. NHL says 17 Dallas Stars tested positive for COVID. Most of them are asymptomatic. Mika Zibanejad had his first practice since that. And the Penguins, Scotty, restorative development project aims to repair Pittsburgh's famed Hill District. You know it well.
Yeah, mostly we used to buy crack there and drugs, and there was all kinds of murders and violence and rape and carnage in the Hill. They're going to revitalize it. First National Bank Tower. They're going to have a concert venue. I mentioned all this. Restaurants, condos, hundreds of condos. Sounds like a great plan to save a dying community.
Thanks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For all back on Coast to Coast, we always like to go down to H-Town and hook up with Sean Pendergast. He does mornings on 610 in Houston. Sean, good to see you. Happy New Year. I know you're very busy. You got a lot going on. I know you've done a million interviews today already with the Bear Bryant Awards going on tonight. Real quickly, how do you think that's going to play out? Saban, or do you think they're going to go with the guy from Coastal Carolina? We got a sleeper pick in there for the Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think it's an award, Scott, where the occasional sleeper from a small school does come out sometime. You know, Kyle Whittingham, back before Utah got into the Pac-12, won it. Chris Peterson won it when he was at Boise State a couple times. So I think Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina is sort of a – I think if there were an odds board on it, he'd be a nice value pick. Because my guess is Saban and Dabo Sweeney are probably at the top of the list, you know, especially given their ties to Bear Bryant, Sweeney having gone to Alabama back in the day and Saban being the coach at Alabama. But I think Chadwell is not a bad value play. But I just got done interviewing all of the finalists for Mario Cristobal of Oregon, Tom Allen of Indiana. It's always interesting talking to these college head coaches, especially on a season like this. It's been the most unique season, I think you would agree, in my history of watching college football.
Look, I love Tom Allen, what he did with Indiana. They've been terrible for 35 years, the worst team in the Big Ten, and what he's done there the last 2 years is amazing. I wish he would get it. And I will say this, I'm not a fan of Saban, but I respect him fully, locked in. Anyone that wins 7 national championships, he basically, to me, has passed Bear Bryant as maybe the greatest coach that's ever lived and coached college football. He's amazing. Let's talk about this huge deal today, Sean. Finally, the nightmare is over. And I think last night, after I watched the Rockets get their ass handed to them again by the Lakers, in 3 days, they lost to them by 17 and 18. And then you get a guy like Harden goes to the presser and starts talking about how this team can't be fixed. We're terrible. It's a disaster. There's no hope. And he gets up. You knew he was walking off that stage for the last time. And sure enough, today, the gigantic deal, in essence, very quickly, he goes to the Nets, and the Nets give you 3 unprotected first-rounders in 22, 24, 26, pick swaps in 21, 23, 25, and 27. And you finally get rid of the malcontent who brought so much happiness to Houston and such great basketball. The whole thing's broken up now. Morey gone, Harden gone. What a disaster that's going to be down there until they get all those picks flushing in.
Yeah, and I guess Victor Oladipo is now going to be part of this whole thing too. That Caris LeVert's now going to – he was part of the Brooklyn deal, coming to Houston. Now LeVert's going out to Indiana in a deal that brings Victor Oladipo in. Yeah, Scotty, for a team that has, with Harden here, had a championship window, probably peaked about 2 or 3 years ago with Chris Paul. The Rockets are going to be probably heading back to some dark times here where they're going to be struggling to even be in the postseason in this Western Conference. But it had just gotten it reached a point where I think when Harden didn't show up for training camp and he shows up on the internet partying without a mask on and all that stuff, he kind of knew what direction it was going. He came in and played nice for a little bit, but on my local show here in the mornings, I do a show with Seth Payne, former NFL player, and we had just been kind of handicapping this thing, saying, how many games do you think it's going to be until this ticking time bomb that is James Harden, who's not a, you know, he's got an unprofessional side to him when things aren't going his way. How long does this ticking time bomb have? If they were 6-3 instead of 3-6 right now, then maybe he waits it out to see if this is a team that can win some games. But here's the thing. He's a huge reason they're 3-6 right now. He's been terrible for the last 2 weeks. He's averaging under 20 points a game over the last 5 or 6 games, which to me, if James Harden is averaging under 20 points a game over any chunk of a season, it means he's not trying over that chunk of the season, because we know he's got the ball in his hands enough to go get 25 with his eyes closed. I saw a thing today, Scott, where, you know, they measure these guys with the GPS technology as to how much they run and how fast they run on the court throughout a game. James Harden over the last several games has been, he has been the slowest player in the NBA, and he's run the least amount of distance in NBA games. That's all you need to know about where James Harden's heart has been at over the last week and a half.
Well, yeah, Sean Pendergast with us. I hope you're enjoying the show on SiriusXM 204, all of our radio affiliates as well, Sports Map, Byline, and Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I have to ask you, there's been a lot of talk about how he looks physically. In Spanish, that means fat. Do your fans talk about how bad he looks? Like, he looks out of shape, and like he's just got a huge trunk, huge gut. I mean, look at these pictures we can show you. It's a disaster. And I think he can score on anyone. He's got great handle and ability to get by defenders and go to either side of the glass. He's got touch from everywhere, outside, inside. The guy's a pure scorer. But, boy, is he a pain in the ass. And he got his way, didn't he? And what do you think of how fat he's gotten?
Yeah, well, it's funny, Scott, because we would always joke on our show about how Harden, not even joke, I mean, kind of seriously say, that dude's going to have, he's going to have a great, gym game when he's like 48, 50 years old and he's just playing against, he's going to have a good old man's game someday. You know what I mean? Like, he'll be able to go drop 25 in a rec league game till he's about 65 years old, because his game's never been about explosiveness and athleticism. It's been about hand-eye precision shooting and caginess. But I didn't want to see what the old man game would look like when he's still in his early 30s. You know what I mean? Like, that's what Fat Harden has been a huge topic on the air here in Houston. And I think it goes to show the level of professionalism that he has, that the Rockets were able to pull what they did out of this deal with the way that Harden's looked and the way he's acted over the last month or so. I think kudos to Raphael Stone, the Rockets general manager, who made the most of an intolerable situation.
How disrespectful was this guy towards Silas? I mean, he might as well have gone to the bathroom on him.
Yeah, it's what a weird situation, because reportedly James Harden and Russell kind of gave Silas the stamp of approval when the team was involving them in the discussions of who to bring in as a head coach. And then they hire him, and all of a sudden both guys want out. You know, so it was a weird situation to begin with. I feel really bad for Steven Silas, who probably thought that he was walking into one thing. Turns out he's walking into something entirely different. Now, I guess he's going to get an opportunity to prove himself. This is not going to coach that I think Tillman Fertitta is going to eject on, really, because this team's not performing. I think part of the reason deep down that they hired Steven Silas is because he's 47, so he skews to the younger end of NBA coaches. This is his first job. I think he's viewed as somebody who a really good head coach to grow with a new core of players that they're going to be getting here over the next handful of years.
I mean, look, any way you slice it, they got an absolute treasure trove of high-end picks. I mean, they have loaded up like what Danny Ainge had in his safe. You got enough first-rounders and swap picks to last a lifetime. I think the franchise, at the end of the day, I don't care what anybody says, you got rid of this cancer. He was a great player. There's no denying it. But we'll see if he can play with others. He's going back with Durant, but these kids aren't 20 anymore. I'm talking about now. He's a ball hog. Kyrie Irving's a head case. Durant, you never know if he's going to go or not. It could be a disaster, and it could ruin the Brooklyn Nets forever, and the Rockets end up laughing last. Let me ask you one other question before I let you out of here, Sean. What is the latest on Deshaun Watson's relationship with the front office of the Texans? And is there any truth at all to his desire, if it's true, to get out of there and be traded?
I think where Deshaun Watson is right now, from what I've heard and talked to people, Scott, is that he does not want to be traded from Houston right now. He wants to be a Houston Texan, but he wants his opinion to be treated with respect. I don't even know if he wants his opinion to be treated with respect as much as he just wants to be treated with respect. Look, ownership went to Deshaun Watson and involved him initially in the head coaching and the general manager. So he didn't go seeking input on this. Cal McNair went to Deshaun Watson. And so then when Deshaun Watson gets on a plane to go on vacation with his girlfriend, and then he finds out about Dario becoming the general manager and how that all came about is a completely separate story, which illustrates a lot of dysfunction going on behind the scenes with the Texans. But your questions about Deshaun, I think Juan opened up his Twitter and saw that they hired Nick Caserio the same way that I found out and any Texan fan had found out. He felt disrespected about it. Deshaun's extremely loyal. You mentioned those interviews I just did. Dabo Swinney was one of them, and I asked him about Deshaun Watson. He said there is no more loyal, professional pass player that he's coached than Deshaun Watson. I also asked him what advice he would give Texan fans about dealing with Trevor Lawrence twice a year in the division in Jacksonville. His answer, keep Deshaun Watson. So they got to get this thing fixed. They got to get it figured out with Deshaun Watson. The whole thing, Scott, and boy, we could talk for hours on this, is this Jack Easterby, this executive vice president of football operations behind the scenes, has been a cancer in that organization at every level, on the business side, in the locker room. But for whatever reason, Cal McNair, the owner, just doesn't see it the same way.
Actually, I think Caserio is going to be great in Houston, and he's really good at what he does. And one overtime question, is Bieniemy getting the job?
No, I don't think he is. I mean, I think it's more about optics with Bieniemy and the fact that I think Deshaun Watson likes Bieniemy. If they were in on Bieniemy, I think Bieniemy would have been in sooner in their pool of candidates. My hunch tells me that that Eric Bieniemy did the job in Houston.
Wow. So any idea, double overtime question, who it might be?
I think a lot of people are focused on a couple of names. I would watch for Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. He's got ties to Easterby and Caserio from his time in New England. In fact, he recommended Easterby to the Patriots as their character coach back in 2013. The two spent time together in Kansas City. And they share an agent. Daboll's got the same agent as Easterby and Nick Caserio. So I would watch Brian Daboll. I would watch Joe Brady, who is a candidate, the offensive coordinator for Carolina, who is the brains behind the Joe Burrow operation at LSU. Keep an eye on Joe Brady. Joe Brady, reportedly, they interviewed him. I think the interview went well, and Joe Brady doesn't want to move any more with the Texans until he gets a chance, wisely, gets a chance to sit down with Deshaun Watson. So those are a couple of names that I think are getting kicked around here quite a bit.
All right, Sean, triple overtime question.
I'm in.
Where do you think George Springer is going to get the money?
Got to be the Mets, right? I don't think it's going to be the Astros, unfortunately. And boy, what a year this will have been if that George Springer, maybe the most popular baseball player in recent history, James Harden, who has been the best basketball player, but very polarizing in the fan base. And now we're staring down the barrel of possibly Deshaun Watson, and I think probably J.J. Watt, not being a Houston Texan anymore. But to answer your question, I've always thought all along it would be the Mets. The combination of new ownership there trying to make a statement, Springer being from Connecticut, so his family is up that way. And I think he'd be a great pickup for the Mets. You know, George Springer, if the Mets are looking to get better and play in the postseason, it's hard to find a better postseason player over the last 3 or 4 years than George Springer.
Listen, Sean, I can't wait to see where George goes. You're fantastic. I always enjoy your insight and Skinny. You got a great show down in Houston on 610. Always good to see you again. Happy, healthy new year to you, Sean. Thanks for coming on Coast to Coast today.
Great to talk to you, Scotty. Anytime. I really appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, Sean Pendergast, the great host down in Houston on 610 with us on C2C. This story about the trade for Harden to Brooklyn, we'll delve into it even further when we talk to Mr. Logan from Newsday later on today's show. So there's a lot more on that. I'm psyched up to see how this thing all plays out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell, back on Coast to Coast, what a blockbuster day with these deals in the NBA and Harden going to the Nets and a lot of player movement. We'll get into it a little later. Carver High, I am surprised that every single day, I'm stunned, to be honest with you, the way Cashman's handling this offseason. I don't know what the deal is, financial or otherwise. Money's never been an issue. They print money in the Bronx. But the fact of the matter is they won't give LeMahieu what he wants. And now there's talk that they're willing to dump Tanaka to the Padres. I mean, what is next? You know, free tickets for the fans?
Yeah, it sounds like they don't want to pay Tanaka what he's asking for. Now, look, I'm kind of hot and cold with Tanaka, Scotty. Like, I don't like the way they use him. It seems like they let him pitch four innings and they take him out after 75 pitches every time he goes. Now, is that their fault or is that – do they think that he can't throw more than 75, 80 pitches? I can't pay a guy $15, $20 million a year to pitch four innings as a starter. I can't do it. So I kind of see the side with Tanaka. I don't see it with DJ whatsoever. And, man, the Padres want to load up, huh, Scotty? It wasn't enough. Darvish, Snell, everything. And listen, you can never have enough pitching. But, sure, go throw some money at Tanaka as well.
Well, I mean, I think pitching did them in the end last year when all their pitchers started having their arms fall off right before the playoffs. Yeah. David Price is throwing for the Dodgers. Remember, he blew off the season last year when they won the World Series. And Chris Sale is about to hit the mound, allegedly, for the Red Sox. Do you anticipate Sale being ready anytime before July, August?
I really don't. I mean, you would think based on the timeline of where he was last year, it's going to be June or July before he actually gets into a game. I mean, if he's just starting to throw now, we'll see. As far as Price goes, Scotty, I'm interested to see how he pitches. A year off, but not injury-related. Maybe he's fresher. He's getting up there now. Let's see if it's a fresher David Price this year for the Dodgers.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Mafia. Big fight this Saturday, Holloway and Qatar in the UFC. We'll get into all the fight news next on Coast to Coast.